We come to you this morning, Father, with lives and hearts that are full of burden and concern, anxiety, and you ask us to cast those on you. And Jesus, you commanded your disciples to worry not. So help us to grasp in your word today what it is that you would say to us in that respect, that it might be meaningful, that it might be just appropriate for the moment, the day that we live in. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles there, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing in a series which we've entitled, well, you haven't, I have. You had no part in it. But remember when all we had was Jesus. And the concept is that we're paring back everything that is almost extraneous sometimes to our lives and our Christianity and what it means to follow Jesus. And we are attempting to put ourselves in the shoes of those first generation Christians when all they had was Jesus. They didn't have all of the bells and the whistles and the aids and the help. They just had Jesus. I shouldn't just say it like that. They had Jesus. But all they had was Jesus, and it was very significant for them. And we are discovering that Christianity began as a resurrection religion or a resurrection movement. And the power to do the things that Jesus commanded is found in the resurrection, in his resurrection. And so this morning we are continuing with that. And the command that Jesus gave his disciples, remember last week it was fear not, this week it is worry not, be not anxious. Or if we want to put it in Old Testament speak, thou shalt not worry. Interesting reaction. I expected that because it's a very difficult thing to speak about, isn't it? On the one hand, we've got lots of things to worry about. We've got lots of concerns, we've got lots of anxieties. And on the other hand, we hear the command of Jesus, thou shalt not worry. On the one hand, lots of worries. On the other hand, the commandment, or the command, the directive, the instruction, thou shalt not worry. He doesn't say it like that. He says, do not worry. And we're caught between the sticky rice and the bean because we worry reflexively. So, first of all, let me say that I think there are two kinds of worry and anxiety that Jesus is not addressing here. So these are not up for discussion. The first is this, that there are people who have a diagnosed anxiety condition. I don't believe Jesus is speaking to those. If you were to say to someone who had deep anxiety for whatever reason, don't worry, it would be like telling them to not breathe because they are anxious reflexively and they are anxious at any number of stimuli in their life. It would be very unfair just to trot before on this command, well, Jesus said not to worry, so don't worry. Or like our friend last week, just stop it. Okay, that would be very unfair. The other group, I think, are people who have seen and experienced in this life what no person should ever see or experience. Now, whether that's in armed conflict or whether that's in civilian life, there are people who have genuine, deep reasons for their anxiety. We should never ever say to people like that, oh, just don't worry. Or we should never ever say to people like that, well, you're less of a Christian because you worry, or you're less of a person because you're anxious, because they have deep, abiding reasons to be anxious. So that being said, let me say this. For each of those categories, I do think that what I say this morning will be helpful. So I'm not coming from a position of judging people who have reasons for concern. Let me begin by this. Asking you five questions, okay? Here they come. And this really is the summary of Jesus' teaching on worry. Question number one. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life or anyone else's life? Question number two. Who of you, by worrying, has in fact reduced your life by probably a year? Question number three. Who of you, by worrying, is actually driving the people around you crazy with your anxiety? Question number four. Who of you by worrying has added value to the things that you most value in your life? And question number five. Who of you by worrying has reduced your grocery bill or enhanced your wardrobe? And the answer is none and nobody. In other words, we would not dispute the fact that Jesus would say to us, do not worry. What we would ask is, Jesus, how is that possible? And so, with your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 6, let's just go through this phrase by phrase, good old-fashioned Bible study, and let's discover what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, now here it comes, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, what you will, what you shall. In other words, the first thing I want you to notice is this, that Jesus goes right to the very heart of our anxiety, and it is about the future, it's about tomorrow, it's about later. He says, do not worry about what you will eat, do not worry about what you will wear. Now, for his immediate audience, those things were deep anxiety, deep points of concern for them because they didn't know what they were going to eat, they didn't know what they were going to wear. Looking around this morning, I don't think that's our concern. We're not concerned about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. Maybe some of us should be a little bit more concerned about what we're wearing, but we're not. And then these first century Christians would look at us and say, well, you people have nothing to worry about, do you? You're well fed, there's water everywhere available, you've got nice clothing, in fact you've got so much clothing you've got to donate it to the op shop where it can be sold to someone who's in need. A little plug for the op shop there. And we would say to them, well actually we've got lots of concerns. We're concerned about our ageing parents. We're concerned about our retirement fund. We're concerned about how we're going to pay school fees. We've got lots of worries, but the locus of the problem for us is, or the heart of the issue that Jesus is speaking about is, worry is about tomorrow, worry is about later, our worry is about the future. That's what he says, that's the first thing. And then he says this, is an amazing thing. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And what Jesus is saying is this, isn't it true that our life is more important than the sum total of our anxieties or our concerns, our worries? What is our life anyway? Our life is about leaving a legacy. Our life is about living with purpose. Our life is about building relationships and investing in the kingdom of God. Isn't it true then that those things are more important than the sum total of our anxieties? And most of us would say, yeah, that's true. That's true, but we tend to worry about things. And then he says this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, this is a remarkable thing that Jesus is saying here. He says, look at the birds of the air. And we say to him, well, Jesus, we would if we had time, but I'm too worried. I'm too worried about the presentation I've got to make tomorrow. I'm too worried about doing my homework for KYB. I'm too worried about getting the kids ready for school, whatever it might be. And Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. And we would say to Jesus, Jesus, with all respect, only old people do that. I don't have time for that. Just realise I'm speaking with a rather ageing congregation who probably do have time to look at the birds of the air. And this is actually what Jesus is saying. He's saying this, the birds of the air do not sow or reap. You're not like them. In other words, you have the capacity to plan for the future. You can sow and reap. You can anticipate the future. And then he says, and you are much more valuable than the birds of the air. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, if you can anticipate the future and plan for it and provide for it and put things aside, and you have that unique capacity as a human being, and your heavenly Father values and cares for you so much more than the birds, but he looks after the birds and not one of them falls to the ground or lands on the ground without him knowing. How much more then do you think he knows your needs and will provide for them? You who can anticipate the future and you who are much more valuable than the birds of the air. Do you understand what he's saying? And then he goes on. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yes, you are. And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, you can't. And you worry. And why do you worry about clothes? And see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendour was not dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And here is another key. You of little faith. Now, you can't actually see this in the text, but when Jesus said to the crowd, you of little faith, there would have been a chuckle that came up, would have arose from the crowd. Because this is the best rendering of the Greek phrase. We read you of little faith, but Jesus was saying this, you little faithers, you. That's really how they would have heard it. And they would have thought, oh, Jesus is just toying with us. Jesus is playing with us. You little faithers, you. If God clothes the grass of the field, if God looks after the birds, if God values you more than those, and you have the capacity to plan for the future, why do you worry, you of little faith? Now we get to the heart of the issue. Because the heart of the issue is this. Do you believe? Do I believe that God is with me today and God will be waiting on me tomorrow? That is really the crux of our anxiety. Do we believe that God is with us today and God will be waiting on us tomorrow? Here's what we tend to do. We wake up in the morning and we're already concerned about what lies ahead. Halfway through the day, we become more concerned because we drag from tomorrow the concerns and the anxieties of tomorrow and we bring them into today. And we overload our emotions with anxiety. And the crux of the matter is this. Do we believe, I mean really believe, that God is with us today and he will be waiting on us tomorrow? I'll leave that with you. We'll move on. What shall we? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And when Jesus said pagans, he's not been derogatory. He's just saying, everyone else. You're my children. And everyone else, that is everyone who doesn't believe in a personal loving God, they all run after those things. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need him. And then he gives us an alternative. But seek first the kingdom of God. Here is a key. When you are tempted to reach into tomorrow with all of its anxiety and concern, the things that have not yet happened, and you're tempted to drag that into today, Jesus is saying this. When that is happening, think about how you can be involved in what God is doing in the world today. Think about how you can engage with the kingdom of God today. When you are tempted to be concerned about whatever it is that you're concerned about, paying your bills, will I have enough money, how are my kids going to make it, you know, all of this sort of thing, all of these anxieties and concerns, when you are tempted to think that, Jesus is saying, think about the kingdom of God and how you can engage with that today. How you can participate with God, with what God is doing right now. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then, here is the key. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The last thing I want you to notice is this, before I give you some application. Jesus relabels all of our worry. If I asked you, what are the things that you're concerned about? I'll give you a moment to reflect on that, and some of you will say, I don't need a moment, I need a whole day. I've got a list. I've got a long list, you know. I can write it on a toilet roll paper. It'll just keep rolling out, you know. Like, you know, that continuous list of whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be on a toilet roll paper. Just a long list in my mind of things that I'm concerned about. Well, just give me the top two, all right? Don't speak them out, but just think about the top two. And Jesus would say this. You're actually not worried about that. You're worried about tomorrow. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about tomorrow. And some of you are saying, well, I'm worried about the surgery. And Jesus would say, no, you're not worried about the surgery. You're worried about tomorrow. The surgery's tomorrow. I'm worried about, will I have enough money to pay the bill? You're not worried about paying the bills. You're actually worried about tomorrow because you've got food on the table today. You've got clothing on your back. You've got a roof over your head. You are worried about tomorrow. Jesus doesn't endorse that we are irresponsible in our planning. He's just saying, don't drag those anxieties into today. You can't merge those two. He relabels all of our concern and all of our anxiety, and he says, what it really is about the future. It's about tomorrow. It's about later. So do not worry. Two questions then. What if you really believe that? What if you really believed Jesus when he said, do not worry, my heavenly Father is with you today and he will wait on you tomorrow. He knows your name. There's nothing that you need that he doesn't know about. What if you really believed that? And the second question is, why not believe that? Why not believe it? And I can answer that for you. Some of you are saying, my head is so full of concern, it's absurd. It's totally absurd for me not to be concerned about anything. Secondly, you'd say, well, I don't think God will come through for me. I don't think God will come through for me. Well, let me say this to you. If you choose not to trust your Heavenly Father who is with you today and waiting on you for tomorrow, by default, you will choose to trust in worry. If you don't trust in your Heavenly Father, by default, you will trust in worry. And does that work? Has anyone sung the song, Worry's Got the Whole World in His Hands? Has anyone read the scripture that says, trust in worry with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding? In all of your ways acknowledge worry and it will make your path straight. No one in my house is reading that or saying that. And no one is singing the song, Worry's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Because if you by default choose that you will trust in worry, that is ridiculous, and worry will never come through for you. So do you believe it? And secondly, why not believe it? Why not? Well, if there's any encouragement for you, the disciples didn't get it. And then we go to John chapter 14, and let me just read to you a couple of verses from John chapter 14. This is what Jesus is saying. Verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not worry. This is a long time after he's first articulated this command. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They had lots to worry about. Jesus was going to leave them. They had the weight of the kingdom on their shoulders. They had lots and lots of concerns. And Jesus said to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust in me. And then he died. And everything with him died. The movement died. And the disciples went back to fishing. But then he rose again. And they saw him face to face. And everything that he said about worry, about tomorrow, about casting your cares on him and him knowing what you need tomorrow, everything made sense. Why? Because if a man can predict that on one day he'll die and 3 days later he'll rise again, guess what? He knows what you need tomorrow. That's the man who knows what you need tomorrow. And suddenly this made complete sense to them. And the difference was not reading a scripture. The difference was them seeing Jesus risen from the dead. So, let me apply this, because this is a big deal. I know this is a big deal. Three things to remember, and then we're done. The first is this. Begin your day with a declaration of trust in God as your Father. Now, this might sound a little bit, it might sound a little bit cliche, but begin your day with a declaration of trust in God your Father, because this is what I've discovered. If you start ahead of worry, you can stay ahead of it. Have you discovered that? If you start ahead of it, in other words, if you start your day with a declaration that I am going to trust that God is with me today and tomorrow He will be waiting on me, if you can start with that, you can stay ahead of it. It's a sneaky thing, worry. You've got to stay ahead of it. And if you can begin your day with a declaration that God is the one in whom I trust and not my concerns, and I don't need to bring into today all of the things that are going to agitate me and fill my mind and overload my... If I can begin the day with a declaration of trust in God as my Father, you can stay ahead of it. You can stay ahead. I'm speaking to myself here because I am someone who will worry my socks off. So I'm preaching to myself. But I do know that if I stay ahead of it, I can keep ahead of it. Second thing is this. Relabel all of your worry about tomorrow. Relabel all of your worry and say, I'm actually not worried about whatever it might be. I'm actually worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about tomorrow. And so Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, do not worry about tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. You and I know that. We know that. Relabel your anxiety tomorrow. I'm not worried about the exam. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about whether my car's going to start in the morning. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about my grandchildren and their future. I'm worried about the future. Relabel it and call it for what it is. And the third thing is this. When you're tempted to be anxious like I am, seek first the kingdom of God. Use the alternative that Jesus has given you to seek first his kingdom. And when you're concerned about tomorrow, ask Jesus, how can I invest in your kingdom today? How can I pray for someone? How can I bless someone? How can I serve someone? How can I invest in the kingdom today? Because this is the promise. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, I'll look after your life. Pray for people, bless people, serve people, encourage people, I'll look after your life. Witness to people, share the good news with people, however you do that. Everyone should preach the gospel and if necessary say a few words. Share the gospel with people, I'll look after your life. That's the deal. So when you're tempted to be anxious and concerned about tomorrow, Jesus says, get involved in what God is doing in his kingdom today. I'll look after your life. Five questions for you. Who of you, by worrying, has added 1 hour to your life or to anyone else's life? Who of you, by worrying, has probably lost a year from your life? Who of you, by worrying, has added value to the things that you value most? Who of you, by worrying, has enhanced your wardrobe or reduced your grocery bill? Who of you, by worrying, has added anything to your life? God says to you, do not worry. I'm with you today. I will be waiting on you tomorrow. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you look into today and you see us We're fragile, we're concerned, we're anxious. And you know who we are, and you know our name, and you love us, and you care for us. And it's true that you've given us everything that we need for today. And it's true that you will be providing for us tomorrow. It's really hard for us to not load up our life with anxiety that doesn't need to be there. So I pray simply that you would give us a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit so that we might truly be able to trust you. That the issue of our concern is about whether we trust you. You're the one that sees the beginning and the end. You're the one that said, I will die on a cross and in 3 days I'll rise again. No one could see that coming. And yet it made complete sense to the disciples to hear, do not worry. So give us a fresh revelation of the power of the resurrection, that you have everything planned and catered for. Our salvation, our provision. So Lord, help us in the simplicity of that song to live one day at a time and to know that you'll be there tomorrow and the day after. And the day after, you'll be there with us for eternity. Empower us to live that way so that it brings life and joy to us and those around us. So that it releases the burden of anxiety and helps the creativity for the kingdom to flow instead. So that it gives us a vision for engaging with people, to pray for people, to bless them, to encourage them, to witness to them, to minister to them, so that all of that energy that is sucked up in anxiety and concern can now be rediverted to the work of the kingdom, so that more people might know that you are with them today and you'll be waiting on them tomorrow, and that you've provided for them in every way they could possibly need. Empower us to be that people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.